This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark and Wang Xiaoning. Now, it is 7.06 in the morning, Tuesday the 22nd of October, and US stock benchmarks closed higher yesterday amid optimism over tariff talks and better than expected corporate earnings, but a decline in shares of Boeing capped the gains for the blue-chip Dow Jones Industrial Average.
Nonetheless, Dow closed 0.95% lower, S&P rose 0.39%, and Nasdaq jumped 0.91%. Meanwhile, in Asia, shares were mostly higher on Monday, supported by hopes for progress in the resolving US-China trade war, if it does get resolved. And the Nikkei edged up 0.25%. Shanghai rose slightly by 0.05%. Hang Seng made a tiny 0.02% jump. Kospi rose 0.2%. Singapore jumped 0.8%. And as usual, Malaysia had a marginal 0.01% drop.
Because we just love to buck the regional trends.
We do.
So for a larger take on global markets this morning, we have on the line with us Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst with Oanda. Good morning, Jeffrey. Thank you for joining us. Now, it is US corporate results season now, and the first week was a pretty decent showing. Going forward, what are your expectations of earnings as a mixed bag of notable names like Amazon, Microsoft, McDonald's, and also Caterpillar are releasing their numbers this week?
Yeah, I think the companies such as Caterpillar will be very interesting because they're much more directly trade sensitive than other types of stocks. So, it'll be interesting to see whether manufacturers like Caterpillar are starting to suffer and have a lowered outlook. Also, there's discretionary companies such as Harley Davidson announcing today as well. And that, again, is very much tied to the picture for world trade. Across the rest of the sectors, though, I think that we're going to continue to see better results. There was a lot of doom and gloom before this earnings season started, but certainly on the banking side, which is always a good sign, the results have been very healthy. I'm expecting companies such as McDonald's to produce very good results, and also for the tech guys, Microsoft and Amazon, to keep pushing forward as well.
Meanwhile, data for the US factory orders for business equipment will be out this week. So how important is this indicator of capital investment? And do you think we will see any impact of the US-China trade war from it?
It's a funny old world at the moment. We're only a few points away on the S&P from all-time record highs, but yet everybody's talking doom and gloom on a world recession. It's a strange old picture. I think it's important to realise that services economy in the United States and the consumer spending side of things is much, much bigger than the actual exports, although we do tend to focus on exports. So I do feel that we are going to start seeing some cold winds appearing on the export side. But I think it's important that we keep a bigger picture here and that overall the US economy, although it's not quite as cheery as it was at the start of the year, it's still ticking along very nicely.
And looking at the UK, Jeffrey, the pound seems to be correlated to a positive Brexit outcome and has hit a five-month high against the US dollar. Do you think rationality will come calling when the real impact of Brexit starts to be felt on the UK economy, or is that in the price already?
You've used the word rationality and Brexit in the same sentence, and I think it's a bit of an oxymoron, isn't it, ladies? So I can figure that one out. I often sit here with a cold towel on my head trying to figure out how this is all going to play out. I think the net result is here, if he gets this legislation through this week, the withdrawal agreement bill, we will see a rally in sterling, and the market is definitely poised to take sterling higher on any sort of Brexit deal. So I think for now, losses are limited on sterling. I struggle to see it below the 128 region overall. Having said that, I think it will struggle to get back above 135 until we get some clarity going forward as to what the actual trade nature of Brexit will be. But you could draw a fiendishly complicated flowchart on the different outcomes at the moment, and I think it still remains a cautiously optimistic watch this space.
And Jeffrey, I have to ask you, and bring it back to Asia, how dire are things here? We saw Singapore in technical recession while China's GDP growth was just barely 6%. So how bad will things get in this region, and who do you think looks the most vulnerable?
Yeah, I think, again, it's important not to talk ourselves into an early grave here. With Singapore, it's a very, very open trading economy. I mean, that's how it pays its way in the world. So any sort of slowdown is going to affect Singapore first, but any sort of recovery, you'll see that effectively moving through Singapore first. Countries that have current account deficits, so they don't pay their way in the world, and very export-facing economies, will probably struggle. And so the names that come to my mind on top of at the top of this list are sadly Indonesia, which is very much not the higher value-added economy. It's much more primary products that get dug out of the ground and sent to China. To a certain extent, South Korea, simply because so much of their economy is discretionary electronics. And to a lesser extent, Malaysia, sadly, because oil prices will remain low, and the other big sector is electronic exports, which are also extremely discretionary. I think the palm oil side will hold up, certainly because people need palm oil and things that they use every day. But certainly I think that they could struggle as well. And that's perhaps why the Malaysian stock market hasn't been performing quite as well as you mentioned earlier on in the program.
Well, thank you very much, Jeffrey. And that was Jeffrey Halley, Senior Market Analyst with Oanda. Now, taking a look at some other international headlines also this morning. According to sources, SoftBank will offer to take a majority stake in WeWork. And this is a Bloomberg story. And basically, they've said that one of two rescue packages that the board of the troubled company will actually be weighed at a meeting later today. And the deal from SoftBank would value WeCo, which is the parent company of WeWork, at about $8 billion. Or less. And this is a stunning comparison to the $47 billion valuation that WeWork secured from SoftBank in just January.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Because not long ago, like you say, they're worth $47 billion. And the company is expected to shockingly run out of money as soon as next month. Now, another source has said that JP Morgan is also expected to present a separate financing package to the WeWork board. The bank has been pitching investors on a $5 billion junk debt offering. Now, SoftBank's plan would include an accelerated financing of $1.5 billion, which had been previously scheduled for April, said one person. And the plan also includes an offer to buy as much as $3 billion of stock from existing shareholders and $5 billion in debt financing. It's like as if the company's really looking for a way out, and they're running out of time, I think.
It's really bailout time for WeWork now, it looks like. And it's not that long ago that they were riding high on the back of their valuations, talking about an IPO. It really is the mighty have fallen now. But also taking a look at the S&P 500 today, because the US stocks did advance amid positive signs on trade talks, and as investors awaited earnings from some of the world's biggest companies, while treasuries fell. So the S&P 500 climbed to a one-month high, surpassing the 3,000 level, as Jeffrey mentioned earlier. Apple rallied, this is on the back of Apple, which rallied to a record, while Teva Pharmaceutical also surged after saying it has an agreement to settle thousands of opioid lawsuits.
Now, on the other hand, the Dow Jones underperformed, and that's on the back of bad news from Boeing over the 737 MAX crisis. Now, the point about this is the corporate results season that has just started in the US. There was initially a lot of concern that the corporate numbers will be very poor. Mm. But so far, the numbers that have come out actually have veered towards on the positive side. So whether we will see revisions from the analysts from the street to kind of push EPS numbers, that's a possibility. But it's early days yet, because only the banks really have presented. This week, it's going to be some notable names. So you've got the likes of Microsoft, you've got Apple, you've got McDonald's. You've got Amazon, Microsoft, Caterpillar, McDonald's. I think there's even Boeing. So let's have a look at these numbers to really see whether whether the street is a little bit too pessimistic this time.
Yes, and of course also on the trade talks front, US President Donald Trump has said that China has indicated negotiations over an initial deal are advancing, but really who knows how long they will indeed be advancing, because it only takes a tweet to stop things in their tracks. Over in Chile, there has also been some news because there have been some protests happening over there, and the number of people killed in violent protests against rising living costs in Chile has risen to 11. Now, at least 5 people died after looters torched a factory near the capital, and military and police have already started using tear gas against protesters, and a curfew was imposed in major cities for a third night yesterday.
Yeah, a state of emergency already in place in the capital, Santiago. Now, the unrest sparked by a now suspended metro fare hike widened to reflect anger over living costs and inequality. Now, this is ahead of a major disruption expected yesterday. Chile's president has said that the country is at war with a violent enemy. But of course, the head of national security has played down such talk.
Yeah, so the head of national security has made some comments to journalists saying, to tell you the truth, I'm not at war with anyone, and also that I'm a happy man. And of course, when the head of the national security says that he's a happy man, you wonder whether that's really the most accurate picture of things. There have been at least 70 serious incidences of violence, including 40 lootings of supermarkets as well as other businesses. 2 people suffered gunshot wounds after clashes with police, and these are according to official sources. And some 10,500 police and soldiers have also been deployed on the streets, with 1,400 arrests so far. And actually, this kind of reminded me a little bit of the situation in Hong Kong, because it started with an extradition bill. So this is a metro fare hike, but it just tapped into a vein of dissatisfaction, I think, and spread to encompass a much wider tone of unrest in the city.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sense of deep unhappiness that people have, right, in terms of the cost of living pressures. I mean, recently we also had some protests in Barcelona. I mean, that's more political, over the separation of the Catalan state. But, you know, these seem to be ongoing around the world. There seems to be hot spots here and there where protests start off quite peaceful and then descend into violence.
Yeah, and I think you can't also discount the effect of social media on this as well, because these protests are no doubt aware of other protests also happening at the same time. And you don't know whether this could have fanned the flames, you know, maybe encouraged them to take to the streets. But nevertheless, cost of living is a huge problem in Chile. And there is also the sense that the government is disconnected with the people on the ground over there because of comments like, you know, oh, if you don't want to pay the metro fare hike, maybe don't take the train at an earlier time, you know, but discounting the fact that people originally already take about an hour to commute to work in some places in Chile. But right now we are heading into a few messages for you, and then after that we'll be back with some local stories, again another transportation theme today. So be sure to stay tuned for that here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.